First, with so many recent controversies centering on sexual harassment of women, the Me Too movement is front and center in many conversations in the workplace and online. Our next guest wanted to know how men feel about this. They conducted a survey of over 1,600 men, asking them about their ideas of masculinity, intimacy, and how, if at all, the Me Too movement has changed how they see things. Ella Cousy is a visual journalist for 538.com. Ella, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
And Anne Maria Berry-Jester is a reporter at 538. Anne Maria, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks.
Well, Anna Maria, first, what were you looking to find out in this survey?
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, we were started having a conversation with this radio show, Death, Sex, and Money, from WNYC. It's one of the public radio stations in New York, about all these sort of many things that were going on where that were talking about men, right? So sexual harassment allegations, the Me Too movement, gender disparities in the workplace. And we kind of wanted to know, you know, what did that mean for men's perspectives on masculinity, and so we decided to create a survey asking men what it means to be a man today.
And Ella, can you give us a sense of some of the questions, the range of questions that were asked before we dig into the fine details here?
Sure. So the survey was broken up into pretty much four sections. The first was sort of general ideas about masculinity, or you know, what it means for these men to be men, kind of general questions about being a man in society. The next section was about sort of, you know, their day-to-day life, things that are on their minds, things that they do. And then there was a section on workplace interactions, not all about Me Too specifically, but we do ask about Me Too, ask if they've heard of it, and then sort of, if anything, trying not to, you know, when we write these questions, try not to presume anything about the people reading them, but kind of leave it as open as possible. So asking if they've heard of Me Too, and if so, you know, has that changed their behavior? And then there's a section on relationships, romantic relationships primarily. Again, both generally and then in the context of Me Too. And then at the very end, there's a section about demographics. So we collect information on the survey respondents that help us draw sort of comparisons across age, across demographic groups, stuff like that.
And Anna Maria, let's start with awareness of the Me Too movement, because sitting from the perspective of somebody in the media, it seems like it's all over the place. And if we're, you know, following the news on Twitter and places like that, it seems like it's all over the place. How aware were the men you surveyed of this movement trying to draw attention to issues of sexual harassment and more?
Yeah, that's a great question, and was one of the things that really stood out to us in the responses in the survey. So, you know, the vast majority of men had heard of Me Too, you know, 75%, but there was a full quarter of the 1,600 plus respondents who said that they hadn't heard of Me Too, you know, which is very, very interesting, because as you said, it is sort of all over the news, but it's, you know, it's important to remember that people get their news from different sources and everyone's not paying attention to the same stuff. And so there's, you know, I think it says a lot about sort of the nature of these conversations, which is that they are happening, they're influencing some communities, but also very much not necessarily so present in others. You know, of the men who said that they had heard of Me Too, about one in three said that they thought about their behavior at work differently. So it was pretty influential for about a third of the people who had heard of Me Too. But there was a full quarter that said they hadn't heard of it.
And Ella, on that first section about masculine identity, what it meant to be a man or manly, what kind of things stood out to you in the results?
Yeah, so probably unsurprisingly, a large majority of men, you know, over 80% said that they felt masculine or somewhat masculine, but a much smaller percentage felt cared about what others thought of it. So we were sort of interested in that difference between individual feelings of, like, if you're a man in society today, is it important that other people see you that way? But then we also asked, and this was another really interesting finding for us, whether men felt that society put unhealthy pressure on them. And a really strong majority said that they did, again, about 60%. But we also asked for sort of, we had like an open-ended, why do you think so? And the responses were really divergent. So some men, like a lot of those responses were, you know, men can't be open about their feelings. There's too much pressure to be masculine, and so on and so forth. But then a whole another section was sort of in the, you know, men aren't allowed to be men today. You know, there's too much emphasis on feelings, or too much trying to make all the genders the same. So, you know, when you write these surveys, you are trying to account for everything, and you can't always ahead of time. So that sort of piqued our interest and, I think, you know, points to a divide in our society and a possible future area of investigation.
Talking to Ella Cousy and Anna Maria Berry-Jester, both with 538.com, looking at their new survey of men about men, about what it means to be a man, about values of masculinity, and about the Me Too movement. Anna Maria, on questions related to male identity, what it means to be a man, did you see generational differences between younger and older men?
Yeah, that was really interesting. Not necessarily surprising, but, you know, we asked men, first of all, where they thought they got their ideas about masculinity and what it means to be a good man from. The largest number of people answered that it was a father or father figure, 64%. But a pretty good share of men, 40%, said that a mother or mother figure was really influential in how they thought about their masculinity and where they got their ideas about being a good man from. Many people also cited religion. So there were these generational differences, though. So pop culture, for example, was a source of inspiration for a much greater share of the younger men in the survey, about 40% of those 18 to 34, but only 17% of men ages 35 to 64. So, you know, understandably, pop culture is a little more influential among younger generations than it was among older generations.
Ella, in the workplace portion of the survey, there was an interesting series of questions asking men if they felt advantaged or disadvantaged in the workplace based on various things about being a man, and whether women were hurt or harmed in the workplace. What kind of things stood out to you from that section?
Yeah, what was really interesting about both of those questions is that there was so the first question was, how would you say it's an advantage to be a man at your work right now? You know, we were trying to be specific to the person answering the questions, their workplace, not like in general. And then would you say it's a disadvantage to be a man? How would you say it's a disadvantage to be a man at your work right now? And what was interesting about those is there was a none of the above response or a no answer response. And for both, that was an extremely popular answer. You know, people, a lot of the men said there were no disadvantages and there were no special advantages to being a man. However, almost 60%, 59% said that there was no advantage to being a man. But fewer than that, so a majority said there was no advantage to being a man, but a majority said there was a disadvantage to being a man at the workplace. So, you know, a lot of these conversations that are happening in the news media are about the effects of women in the work right now, which is like obviously sort of the point of the Me Too movement and not something that we want to gloss over at all. But from a man's perspective, we thought it was really striking that a lot of these men are more likely to see disadvantages for themselves because of their gender in a workplace than advantages. And one of the really common ones that people cited, that these men cited as a disadvantage, was there was a greater risk of being accused of sexual harassment, or which was 42% of the respondents, and also a greater risk of being accused of being sexist or being racist, and that was at 38%. So those are pretty sizable, you know, shares to select that response.
We're talking about masculinity and what men think it is with Ella Cousy, visual journalist for 538.com, and Anna Maria Berry-Jester, reporter at 538. They're sharing the results of a survey of over 1,600 men. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does manhood or being masculine, acting like a man, mean to you? And has that changed in society for you personally since the Me Too movement? Have men's and women's dynamics in the workplace changed in your eyes in recent years? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've heard some comments there already. Ezra says, I think it's always been hard and confusing being a man. It's almost like walking on eggshells. You can say something that's totally innocent, be told that you're making innuendos inappropriately. Looking is inappropriate. I'm scared to death to say the wrong thing or to even initiate touching for fear of it being taken the wrong way. I fear the Me Too movement may make it worse. Dan says, the Me Too movement changes nothing. I continue to not be a jerk. If you don't know where the line is, keep your hands to yourself. Look her in the eye and talk to her the way you'd like others to speak to your mom, grandma, sister, or daughter. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation with Ella Cousy and Anna Maria Berry-Jester from 538.com. We're talking about a survey of over 1,600 men about what it means to be a man. You can see their results at 538.com. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think the definition, the meaning of masculinity has changed or evolved in recent years? How would you define what it means to be a man? Have you changed your on-the-job behavior or thinking in recent years? And with the Me Too movement all there, all these stories about sexual harassment, sexual assault, and more, has this changed the way you think about the way men and women interact in the workplace and elsewhere? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also join the conversation over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us at centraltimewpr. Did you get a sense, Anna Maria, of maybe confusion over what men were supposed to be out of these survey results and some of the I guess, qualitative responses you got from people?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw lots of places where there was a pretty big divide on how people answered questions. So, you know, we looked at dating and relationships, for example, and, you know, there seemed to be some pretty different ideas on what the roles are there. So 60% of men felt that they were expected to make the first move in a romantic relationship, but that leaves, you know, 40% that that didn't think that. You know, about half of men said they always tried to pay when they go on dates. But the other half felt like maybe it depends on the circumstances. There was pretty big differences in age groups there. So, you know, younger men tended to say they never try to pick up the check first. Older men very few of anyone over age of 35 said that they never try to pick up the check first. So, you know, you can see some sort of shifts in what the expectations are there. And going back to the point we discussed earlier, I mean, it was really striking to see the pretty strong difference, and I think you hear that in some of the comments that you just read, about whether or not Me Too, you know, the sort of growth in this conversation around sexual harassment is a disadvantage for men. I think it seemed like there were a lot of men who really felt that they're walking on eggshells at work, that they are at risk of being accused of something. And then we had responses from men who, you know, really felt like the lines are very clear. It's very easy to avoid walking into trouble. And so those differences sort of spell this pretty strong tension, I think, right now about what is acceptable behavior in a workplace in particular.
Ella, I wanted to ask about issues of consent in sexual interactions, one of the hearts of the issue of the stories that came out of the Me Too movement. What kinds of things did you hear from men when it came to consent?
Yeah, so we asked men, you know, when they wanted to be physically intimate with someone, what kinds of things do you do to sort of figure out if it's a, you know, if the other party is interested? And our most, popular response at 59% was that every situation was different, which, you know, fair. But it was also a sort of choose all that apply. And so other high percentages, the next most common selection was reading body language, which I think is such an interesting you know, I think that's often a thing that comes up as like an example of something not to do in the news coverage. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about verbal consent and even laws that have been passed, you know, saying that, you know, I think in California, verbal consent, or maybe not passed, but people want to make verbal consent sort of the law of the land, whereas only 30% of our respondents said that they always asked for verbal confirmation of consent when they wanted to be physically intimate with someone. So, you know, those, I think that that is a topic that dominates the news media, dominates storylines, you know, in the discussion about college campus sexual assault. I think consent comes up a lot, but amongst our respondents, only a third. So two-thirds of men did not, you know, they're like, I don't usually ask for verbal consent. I can do it in other ways. I think this response among so many of ours just sort of shows a lag between, you know, the kinds of discourse that dominate headlines and the kinds of choices that, you know, people are still making in their everyday lives and the ways that they navigate that.
Go to our callers at 800-642-1234. We've got Nick calling from Ohio, but from Wisconsin. Nick, hi.
Sir, hi, Rob. Yeah, I just feel like I'm being blanketed with generalizations. I think the abusers and the harassers have been a really good manipulators to make people think that all men are alike and we need to be retrained and retaught how to be decent human beings. And it's just not the case. Being masculine is being independent, not letting other people tell you how to live your life. And that's, you know, but it's also, you know, being a decent human being, it's not that complicated. Thank you.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Anna Maria, did you get a lot of that kind of response, men fearing being painted with a broad brush, as Nick was saying?
Yeah, I think you see that a little bit in the responses about workplace harassment, which is where we kind of address some of that most directly. And, you know, as Ella said, the most common response we got between what might be an advantage or what might be a disadvantage was it being a disadvantage that you're likely to be accused of sexual harassment or sexism or racism. And so it's, you know, I think you see there that there are a lot of deep concerns among men that they are being accused of things that they are not, that they don't, you know, feel that they're doing.
Ella, one common response to that concern raised by men is that we've been hearing from the Me Too movement that a lot more women have been subjected to this kind of behavior, and clearly a lot more men than previously suspected were committing this. Did you hear any of that coming out in your survey results?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't ask about that in particular. We tried to keep questions focused on sort of you know, the experience of the men we were surveying rather than their, like, general opinions on the Me Too movement, you know, more so. So, for example, our question was, for those who have heard of the Me Too movement, has it changed your behavior? And if so, how? And so, you know, we didn't get responses that were like, you know, women are lying or anything like that. It was more sort of a lot of men, and this sort of aligns with what your caller suggested, a lot of men said that they didn't change their behavior, you know, and then their responses were sort of like, it's not, you know, as long as you're respectful, it's fine. I don't have to change my behavior, which is, you know, interesting. That's why we conducted this survey, to sort of see, you know, in this climate and this particular moment, is this creating broad change for men as well as women, or are men mostly going about business as usual? And it seems to be for a lot of men, it's the latter.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Among the employed men, we also asked them if they'd heard or seen sexual harassment at work, and if so, how they responded. And 75% said they hadn't witnessed sexual harassment. And when you look at surveys around women, you know, the responses from women who say they have, who've been asked if they've experienced sexual harassment in the workplace, there seems to be some sort of, there's a discord there. And that very well could be that men are not witnessing these things. Obviously, a lot of them happen in sort of private encounters. But, you know, there's been a lot of question around what the responsibility is for men when in these interactions, even if they're not the person committing them. And, you know, it made me wonder, you know, if people aren't seeing things or if they don't recognize it the same way that a woman might as a problem.
As we start to wrap up, Anna Maria, looking through these results, having done this survey, what questions do these raise for you now looking ahead?
You know, I really wonder how the sort of tension gets resolved that women are, by and large, saying there's a pretty big problem in society and the way that they're being treated, and that is appears to be threatening or a problem for some men as well, and that they feel like they're being accused of things that they're not committing, which, you know, I'm certainly not arguing that the vast majority of men are not one way or the other, but it's that seems to be a pretty big tension there. And in some ways, you know, there's this push to try and have more gender equality, but if you have these social conversations, you know, I wonder about how that sort of causes some divides as well. It'd be interesting to see over time how some of these attitudes change.
Thanks to both of our guests for this conversation, Ella Cousy and Anna Maria Berry Jester. They're both with 538.com. Been talking about a survey they conducted asking men about their ideas of masculinity, intimacy, and how, if at all, the Me Too movement has changed how they see things. You can still weigh in on these issues, talk about your own experiences. Do that over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.